Welcome to New Country, and I'm June Carter Cash, and this is the Carter family, sisters Helen, Anita, and I'm thrilled to death to have as a special guest here my daughter Carlene Carter. This is True Carter Family and features Helen playing.
Please join me in welcoming Johnny's daughter, Roseanne Cash.
Oh, no, the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
Hello, welcome to a Six String Hayride podcast, a journey through the world of classic country music with your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. We will be covering all of the great topics in country music, from mama to prison to dancing to drinking to guitar picking, to all the crazy deal with the devil, honky-tonking stuff you do on Saturday night, and how you try to get it past your Lord on Sunday morning. So climb aboard the cart, and let's go.
That was the Carter family. Anita and Helen are with us today.
Here is a song made famous by our mother and the style guitar that she played so well through the years, our sister Helen Carter and the Wildwood Flower.
Welcome to the Six String Hayride Classic Country Podcast with Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. Folks, if you've been following the show over the last couple years, you know that we've had a lot of episodes and a lot of discussion about the Carter family, Johnny Cash, June Carter. We've talked a lot about that initial explosion of music in 1927 with A.P. Carter, Sarah, and the woman that's become known as Mother Maybelle, the original Carter family lineup. They really did change the face of music in the 1920s and 1930s. In the 1960s, that family tradition takes another huge step forward when June Carter, Maybelle's daughter, and Johnny Cash get married, and it's really kind of this whole next generation phenomenon.
But the future is left for us to write.
We've talked about these folks at great length over the history of the podcast, but we've done a great disservice to the family overall, in that we have not really stopped to take the time to talk about the other ones. June is the middle child. She has an older sister in Helen and a younger sister in Anita. Helen Carter and Anita Carter were a very significant part of the family act for a long time.
Although the original Carter family disbanded in 1943, they left a wealth of songs and a legacy of talent passed on from one generation to another. Maybelle Carter, a member of the original group, went on to form a new Carter family composed of herself and her daughters Anita, Helen, and June. They began working on various radio stations and in 1950 moved to Nashville to become regulars on the Grand Ole Opry. Along with the group came a young musician they had discovered along the way by the name of Chet Atkins.
Thank you.
Carter family went on to perform during the 50s till Helen and Anita married and left the group, and June struck out on her own. With the advent of the folk era during the 60s, Maybelle became a featured performer at folk festivals and college concerts, and June and her husband, Johnny Cash, became stars of their own network TV show. And during the early 70s, the Carter family assembled once again to perform frequently on the show. Following Maybelle Carter's death in 1978, the group continued to perform with Johnny Cash's show and recently added new members, a third generation of Carters.
So yeah, it's finally time that we take a good look at these other Cash and Carter women, talk a little bit about some of their hit records, and a reminder of why these women are important, not only in the history of country music, but in the future of country music as well. They have a lasting influence that really deserves a lot of respect.
I agree with your assessment there, Jim. I do think that generally we've fairly well covered the Cash Carter family. So in speaking about these women today, again, June's sisters, along with her daughter and stepdaughter, you know, hopefully we can shine a little bit more light on why the Cash Carter family is so important, not only in the founding of country music as we know it, but also as the generations continue and as the Carter family continues to grow and evolve over the years as well. Now, that does bring up the question, are we doing a disservice to Johnny and June's son, John Carter Cash, by leaving him out of this episode?
You know, Chris, you're right. There's not much to say about John Carter Cash as a musician, as a recording artist. He does sing, he does play guitar. He has been a supporting musician on other family projects over the years, but he's not really a musician and a performer on his own as his main thing. What John Carter Cash provides for the family at this point is he's really kind of the curator. The idea of any kind of Johnny and June museum or exhibits, and kind of the guy who's taking care of the legacy and being in charge of the story. One of the things that went wrong in the 70s and 80s after Elvis Presley died was kind of the legacy or the story that was told about him very quickly became a lot of cheesy accessories you could get for your kitchen and bathroom. And the focus on the history of the music kind of got lost in the shuffle of the merchandise and the money to be made. And John Carter Cash, I think to his credit, has been kind of the opposite. It's been very classy, very dignified. You're not going to get some kind of, you know, $9.99 Johnny and June pillowcase. There's just been nothing tacky or disrespectful about their way that their legacy has gone forward now, the 20 years since they both died. And in the cookbook that we, you know, really enjoy here a lot on the show, that's compiled by John Carter Cash. He's the one that still goes around to talk shows. And again, he's the curator of the legacy. If you are not the best musician in the family, then you become the person who kind of goes out and represents the family to the rest of the media and entertainment world. And that's what that's what he's managed to do, and in a really nice fashion.
There's a dark and troubled side of life. There's a bright and sunny side too. Though we meet with a darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may be. Keep on sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all
start our conversation today by speaking of Helen Carter. She is the oldest of Mother Maybelle's three daughters, making her June's older sister and Anita's oldest sister. She was born on September 12th, 1927. She was with us until June 2nd of 1998. She is easily, in my opinion, but also the opinion of folks who are far more knowledgeable on this topic than myself, she's easily the best musician of the Carter children. So after the original Carter family breaks up, Helen and June and Anita, they form the Carter sisters and Mother Maybelle. And then after A.P. Carter dies in 1960, they simply rename themselves the Carter family.
One of the greatest traditions in country music show business, the famous Mother Maybelle Carter, along with Helen, June, and Anita. Ladies and gentlemen, the Carter family.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the kind of fine. Because you're mine, I was blind. I find it very, very easy to be true. Myself alone when day is through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness
keeping in mind, this was the point in time when Sarah was just completely retired in California, enjoying her life with her old blue eyes. So at this particular point in history, the only working Carter family are Mother Maybelle and her daughters. In 1950, that lineup joins the cast of the Opry, and the sisters, Helen, June, and Anita, are some of the youngest inductees at this time. They were 22, 20, and 17, respectively.
Let's everybody smack their hands for Mother Maybelle and the Carter sisters.
I got a man, he's talking man, he's talking pure for me.
Thank you.
when they were children, Helen and her sisters were on the Mexican border blaster station known as XERA. The reason these stations were called border blasters, and we have touched on this in past episodes, but for anyone who may not have heard or doesn't recall, these stations were called border blasters because they were outside of the control of United States broadcast laws. And while stations were limited to 50,000 watts in the U.S., these border blaster stations would actually broadcast at 500,000 watts. So they could be heard all over the country. So it was easy to grow a nationwide audience from a single location, which is why you had some of these groups, such as the Carters, crossing the border to do this.
Now we've got a soloist up here about 12 years old. Her name is Helen. And she's going to tell you about that buddy she wants. Not a sweetheart, it's a buddy you want, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, let's get that straight.
Only want a buddy, not a sweetheart. Buddies never make you blue. Sweethearts make vows that are broken, broken like their hearts are broken too. Don't tell me that you love me, say you like me. No lovers for a bungalow for two. Don't turn down lovers lane, just keep right on a saying. I only want a buddy, not a gal.
Helen rarely sang lead. Generally, she preferred to work on harmony, vocals, and instrumentation. She did play guitar, piano, mandolin, alto harp, and accordion. And like I said, she's sometimes referred to as the most musically gifted of the sisters, but honestly, in my opinion, it's just not even close. As a matter of fact, a song that I listened to quite a bit in preparation for this episode is called Tickling the Frets, and it is just a fantastic example of... Absolutely majestic ability on guitar. In fact, before we started recording, one of the things that Jim and I were talking about is that part of the most impressive thing with Helen's playing is that, you know, she's Mother Maybelle's daughter. It's easy to see genetically where she gets this from, but her playing style is not just derivative of her mother's. It's not just, you know, the Carter Scratch Part Two. She manages to develop a style that's completely her own, and it's just fantastic.
Aside from being exposed to what her mother has literally invented with the Carter style of guitar playing, Helen is around a young Chet Atkins who is getting his start working with Maybelle and working with the three Carter girls and their radio programs. And it's safe to assume that Helen is also listening to other popular music during this time, which means on the radio, she's hearing a lot of Les Paul and Mary Ford. And on record, she's probably hearing a lot of people like Grady Martin, one of the great session players from the 1950s and 60s. So, you know, Helen gets that foundation from her mom, but the people that are the main guitar players when she's still young and learning, and, you know, she's an up-and-coming musician, There's a lot of influence there that's really kind of defines an era. You know, if you're exposed to people like Chet Atkins and Les Paul as they're starting to peak, and you're a young guitar player, that's just, it's an incredible time to be able to soak up the potentials of your instrument.
Also, she shares lead vocals with Anita on Take Me Home Country Roads.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountain, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country road, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country
So while she may not be as well known as her mother or her aunt or her sister June, the fact is that Helen Carter is an incredibly gifted musician and she deserves to be more well known.
And here's the Carter family as they appeared in 1965.
There's a dark and a troubled side of life. There's a bright and too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may view. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life. Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moment be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in His care.
Helen, why did the original Carter family break up?
Well, I don't know. I think, I tell you, Aunt Sarah and Uncle AP, you know, were married. And back in several years before, they had divorced, and she later remarried, and I don't know whether there were some problems, but she never did love the business like Mother loved it. You know, she would go, and she would do the radio shows, and that was fine, and she'd go record, but she didn't love that contact. She didn't love that personal contact that Mother did being out and being with an audience. You know, I can remember when Mother started out with us that, and Sarah would say, "May, when are you ever going to settle down and stay home like you should?" And that was not for Mother, you know. She enjoyed every minute. And they broke up, I think, in 1943. They made their last recordings, I think, in 41. And there was no real big problem, but I think they just kind of, one went one way and one went the other. And Mother just said, "Come on, girls, and here we go." So.
Most of Helen's individual success and profit comes from her work with the Acuff Rose Publishing Company. She's a hell of a songwriter. She writes The Kneeling Drunkard's Plea. She writes Fast Boat to Sydney, Going Wild, Loving You Was Worth This Broken Heart. And she's written songs for Skeeter Davis, Red Foley, Wanda Jackson, Johnny Cash, Wayne Eddy, The Knitters, Willie Nelson, Farron Young, Gene Shepherd, the Louvin Brothers, Ted Atkins, and Waylon Jennings. And clearly, she knows what she's doing. So it's been with her writing that she's really found her individual success. Very often when Roseanne Cash has been interviewed about her musical upbringing, and of course her father is a huge influence, but it was Helen, it's her stepmother's sister, who was the one that really sat her down and taught her how to play guitar. So Helen, again, behind the scenes, really keeping things going. She's the one that pretty much teaches Roseanne how to play guitar. She's an incredible all-around talent. Harmony singing, songwriting, the various instruments that she's skilled at. And, you know, trying to be the one in any band that takes charge and try to motivate everybody, it's like juggling water or herding cats. I've tried it on a real basic level with friends from college, and just getting everybody in the same room and in tune can be a freaking miracle in and of itself. What Helen Carter accomplished for decades, it really set a standard in music and is something that's remained a great legacy and a great influence that's going to go on for a long, long time.
Next up, we'll talk about the youngest of the Carter daughters, Anita Carter. She was born on March 31st, 1933, and she passes away on July 29th of 1999. We mentioned that Helen was far and away the best musician of the group. It's also fairly well accepted that June was the best overall performer in the group, being both, you know, a giant with stage presence as well as funny.
Since we're the only girls on the show, I don't know what kind of show you're expecting out of us, but no, sometimes they do girly type kind of shows, but I've got one announcement to make. I don't want any confusion. This is as sexy as I'm gonna get right here.
But Anita, the youngest sister, is far and away the best singer in the group.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes the fiery ring, bringing hurt to the heart's desire. I fell in the ring of fire. I fell into the burning ring of fire. I fell down, 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 down into the deepest mire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
She is the first to record both Ring of Fire and Blue Boy. Her and her mother and sisters appear on the Kate Smith Evening Hour and become the first females to represent country music on national TV. She managed to marry within the greater group as a whole because she married Bob Wooten, who was the guitar player in Cash's band for a long while. As a performer, her career was relatively short, but she still managed to put out some really good material. She had some early duets in 1951 with Hank Snow.
When the sun in the morning peeps over the hill and kisses the roses round my windowsill, then my heart fills with gladness. Bird.
Down the Trail of Aching Hearts and Bluebird Island, which went to numbers 2 and 4 respectively. Now, the next time she would chart a top 40 single would be 1968, when she teamed up with Waylon Jennings on I've Got You, which made it to number 4.
Don't get no attention from the people on the street. They don't even see us. They just step right on our feet. Just two unnoticed people in this great big world are we. And when I think about it, yes, that's all we'll ever be. But I got you, and you got me. And if they look, they can see that we don't care.
Will say with Anita, just as I said with her older sister, somebody who should really be better known than she is.
Made a call to Houston, made one down to New Orleans, but there's no way to reach you in your world of foolish dreams. I wish you'd cry just a little, but you don't need a thing. That's why I'm leaving for the sunny side of Spain. If your arms grow lonely, if you're feeling kind of rough, if you miss me and want me and things get kind of tough, honey, cry just a little. I feel a little pain. I'll be walking in the surf on the sunny side of Spain.
The Cash Carter family is so important, not only in the founding of country music as we know it, but also as the generations continue and as the Carter family continues to grow and evolve over the years as well.
Our time's all gone, folks. We'll be back again sometime real soon, though. Y'all try to be around, listen to us.
In the pines, in the pines, where the sun never shines, and shiver when the cold wind blows.
You've been listening to radio's famous Carter sisters, Mother Maybelle, Chet Atkins, and yours truly, Joe Slattery. Your announcer will tell you when to look for us again. Thanks a lot for having us in. So long, everybody.
You can always reach us by email at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com with the word six spelled out. You can also find our Facebook page by searching Six String Hayride, but what we'd really appreciate you doing is searching us out on Patreon. Again, on Patreon, which is patreon.com, you can find us by searching Six String Hayride with the six spelled out. We couldn't do this without you, and we certainly do this for you. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Please join me in welcoming Johnny's daughter, Roseanne Cash.
We've talked about her two aunts through marriage. Now let's talk about the eldest daughter of Johnny and Vivian Cash, and someone who is still very much with us, Roseanne Cash. She's born on May 24th of 1955.
This is her new album right here. It's entitled Rhythm and Romance, and today is this woman's 30th birthday. Please welcome and happy birthday to Roseanne Cash.
I don't always pull the car.
early on, her second major label effort is 7 Year Ache, and she just absolutely starts dominating the charts. While she didn't actively try and imitate her father, she never shied away from the fact that she was his daughter. There are Johnny songs on many of her albums, and you know, she does fantastic versions of things like Tennessee Flat Top Box. So she's always embraced the legacy that comes with being part of her father's family, and it comes through. Although, if you listen to the stuff that she was literally ruling the 80s country charts with, you know, songs like 7 Year Ache or My Baby Thinks He's a Train. You know, you have this nice kind of yin and yang where she's embracing the legacy. She's doing what she can to honor it, but she's also very much her own person. In 2018, Roseanne Cash receives an honorary doctorate from the Berklee School of Music. This is not the same as some nonsensical Middle East Tennessee Valley Southern Authority State West Universities Songwriting Hall of Fame, you know, inducting you. This is very real. So it says a lot about her career. It says a lot about her accomplishments. So congratulations to Dr. Roseanne Cash.
Thank you. I want to do a song that is one of the most important songs in the entire lexicon of American music. And I want to do this in the memory of Helen Carter, who taught me how to play guitar and taught me this song. This is the Wildwood Flower.
Oh, I'll twine with my mingles and waving black hair. With the roses so red and the lilies so fair, and the myrtle so bright with the emerald hue, the pale and the leader and dyes of glad blue. Mm-hmm.
like so many artists before her, her career in terms of chart success does wind down after a handful of years of absolutely ruling the charts. But even so, in 2014, her album, The River and the Thread, makes it to number 2. So she's still a force. Listen to her.
Sea of heartbreak, lost love, loneliness, memories of your caress, so divine. I wish you were mine again, my dear. On the sea of tears, sea of heartbreak.
One of the kind of obvious side issues that comes up when you're talking about Roseanne Cash and, you know, the Carter women as well, this idea of being the child of a really famous musician. That's, you know, if you look at country music, rock and roll, pop music, that's one of those things that's really gone incredibly well for people or been just terrible. When we're talking about the Carters and Roseanne Cash, we're talking about the, you know, the other way that this goes, when it works out incredibly well. And there's quite a few examples of that in music. For a long time, the daughter of Nat King Cole, Natalie Cole, had a nice run through the pop and R&B charts, had a great career. Willie Nelson's kids are great musicians, and his son is out there working with them, you know, show after show. Frank Zappa's oldest son, Dweezil, hell of a guitar player. He's working the rock and roll theater circuit, playing a lot of his dad's music. Very talented musician. Another really popular example would have to be Arlo Guthrie, Woody Guthrie's son. Arlo had a huge hit covering Steve Goodman's City of New Orleans. He's also famous every Thanksgiving for Alice's Restaurant. Hank Williams Jr. and Hank Williams III. You know, that's how seriously talented Hank Williams Sr., you know, that's the gene pool. His son and his grandson, both very successful recording artists. And Holly Williams, Hank Jr.'s daughter, also incredibly talented musician. Bob Marley's son, Ziggy Marley, has had a great career making records with his band, The Melody Makers. His younger brother is also involved with that. And Ringo Starr's son, Zach Starkey. Starkey is the original family name. But Zach has been the replacement drummer whenever there's a Who reunion. You know, so when Daltrey and Pete Townsend want to hit the road every few years, Zach Starkey has been the fill-in drummer on those Who reunion tours, going back to the late 90s at this point. So, you know, a lot of times this works out pretty well. And the kids that I've mentioned here, you know, they've produced some good music.
But the kids are all right. The kids are all right. The kids are all right. The kids are all right.
They certainly create a situation where if you're a fan of them, it's very likely that you become curious and you go back and discover their parents' or their grandparents' work. And I think a lot of people, you know, that have become Hank Williams fans in recent years, there's a good chance that you heard Hank, you know, III or Hank Jr. first, and you kind of, you know, work backwards that, you know, that wonderful way that rabbit holes work. I think Roseanne Cash, it serves a similar role in country music, certainly from the 1990s on. Roseanne is somebody who carries an incredibly deep family legacy, not just her dad, but the Carter family legacy. And she's had a really nice run of success collaborating with people outside of the typical country music genre. And this is a way that, her name, that the Cash family name gets out there. And I bet you it's going to get a few people curious enough to go back and listen to Big River or Folsom Prison or something like that. Roseanne has collaborated with Bruce Springsteen on Sea of Heartbreak. Her dad also had a nice version of that record. Roseanne and Elvis Costello with Heartaches by the Number. That's an old Harlan Howard song. Roseanne is one of those people that, because of her family history, she has one foot solidly in the traditional world of country and folk music. But because she's a kid born in the 50s who grew up with Chuck Berry and the Beatles and all the 60s music, she's got one foot in each world. And it's something, that we'll see again when we talk about somebody like Wanda Jackson, who is kind of country and rockabilly, at the same time. But Roseanne has enough musical credibility that she spans both of these worlds and draws people in. So if you're an Elvis Costello fan and you hear, his record with Roseanne Cash doing Heartaches by the Number, and you're like, oh, okay. Maybe you wind up checking out Buck Owens. Maybe you wind up learning about who Harlan Howard is as a songwriter. It's that kind of rabbit hole idea that when you find one thing that you like, you want to find a second thing. And, it kind of snowballs from there, and it can be a lot of fun. So, yeah, Roseanne Cash, Roseanne Cash with a big part of traditional country and a big part of being somebody from the more modern era. She's incredibly influential. And like Emmy Lou, she's also somebody who's preserving and continuing the traditions and the legacy of older country music. It's a difficult spot to be, the child of such a famous person trying to get into that same field. And Roseanne Cash, like some of these other people we talked about, just extraordinary. I mean, her name could be Sally Smith, and she would still have this musical talent that would just blow you away.
You tell me that you got everything you want, and your bird can't sing, but you don't get me. Seven wonders, and your bird is green, but you can't see me. You can't see me.
comes from a family of country music greats like June Carter and Johnny Cash. Her brand new album, I have it right here. It's called I Fell in Love. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Carlene Carter.
Carlene Carter, born in September of 1955. She is the daughter of June and Carl Smith. Carlene Carter originally kind of starts finding her way into the family business, filling in as Anita and Helen are doing less work, less traveling, you know, less public appearances. Carlene starts popping up here and there. Once Maybelle is gone, TV appearances that present the Carter family as a quartet have the three sisters, and then Carlene is the fourth member. She had a nice run of about 12 albums over her career. It's the mid to late 80s when she starts filling in as the fourth member of the Carter family. She puts out a few records starting in the late 70s. They don't really do a whole lot, but there's a rockabilly revival, mostly in England in the early and mid-1980s. And this is the time when she's married to Nick Lowe. So she's living in England for a large part of the 1980s. And in terms of music festivals and other, you know, live performances, she's able to continue her career in that way. Both Carlene and Nick Lowe collaborate with Dave Edmonds quite a bit during this period. This is when Carlene and Dave Edmonds have a hit with the record Baby Ride Easy. Her marriage with Nick Lowe breaks up. Love is bona fide, but that don't coincide with the things that you do. And when I ask you to the nights, you say you gotta be cruel to be kind in the right measure. Cruel to be kind, that's a very good sign. Cruel to be kind means that I love you, baby. Thank you. by the late 80s, she is back here in the United States, and she starts a relationship personally and a musical collaboration with Howie Epstein, who's the bass player for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. She has a hit in 1990 with I Fell in Love. It goes to number three. In 2017, she comes back and makes a record with John Mellencamp called Sad Clowns and Hillbillies. It's a pretty good record, good reviews, good sales. You know, again, she's not super active at this point, but is she an important part of furthering that legacy of the Carter and Cash family? Oh, yeah. And did she make some really good records? Yeah.
While not as prolific a songwriter as some of the other members of the family, she's certainly no slouch. In 1990, she records I Fall in Love, which is produced by Howie Epstein from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He was their bass player. He is actually born in Milwaukee. And fun fact, a high school classmate of his was one of the owners of the law firm I worked for a while. So there's a completely useless piece of trivia for you, listeners. The single actually goes to number three and the album to number 19. This is the highest that any of her albums will chart.
So, folks, today's recipe is going to be one from Roseanne Cash. It is Roseanne Cash's famous potato salad recipe. Chris, give us some potatoes.
We don't care what they look like, we'll eat them any way they can fit on our plate. Every way we can conjure to heat them, we're delighted and think they're just great. Potato, 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 potato. Sometimes we ditch the skin to eat what it's holding in. Sometimes we'd rather please have just the outside with cheese. They have eyes, but they do not have faces. I don't know if their feelings get hurt by just hanging around in dark places where they only can stare at the dirt.
For this one, you'll need 3 pounds of medium red skin potatoes, unpeeled and scrubbed. 8 dill pickle spears, coarsely chopped, which is about 1.5 cups. 3 celery stalks, chopped, about 1 cup. 1 medium red onion, chopped, about 1 cup. 5 hard-boiled eggs, peeled and chopped. 3/4 of a cup of mayonnaise. 2 tablespoons of Dijon mustard. You'll cook the potatoes in a large pot of boiling salted water until tender, about 30 minutes. Drain and cool them. Cut the potatoes into 1-inch pieces and transfer to a large bowl. Stir in the pickles, celery, onion, eggs, mayonnaise, and mustard. And season the potato salad to taste with salt and pepper. You can make this one day ahead, cover and refrigerate, and let stand at room temperature about 1 hour before serving.
Let's go have potato salad.
To this day, both Roseanne and Carlene remain a very vital part of one of the greatest family stories and musical legacies in any kind of music.
I want to do this for you, Dad.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day is through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you, because you're mine. I walk the line.
To remind you to email us at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com. Six is spelled out. You can also search us on Facebook as Six String Hayride. Or what we'd really appreciate you doing is finding us on Patreon under Six String Hayride as well.
Well, folks, thanks again for joining your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley, on the Six String Hayride Classic Country Podcast. We are here for all of your classic country, rockabilly, early rock and roll, little gospel, little blues, a lot of excellent country music themed recipes. And basically, we are here to keep your musical circle rockin', boppin', and very much unbroken. So thank you for sticking with us. We will see you down the road real soon. And again, whether it's in your home, in your community, wherever it is you do your thing, keep your circle unbroken. Stay well, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
Oh, can the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a bitter home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. No, the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.